Thank you. Shall we lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name? Is the Lord, is the Most High, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let Him hear your voice. Let Him hear you praising Him. Give Him all glory. Give Him all honor. Tell Him you appreciate Him. Tell Him you love Him. Magnify His holy name. There's no one like Him. All power belongs to Him. He's the one who can do and undo. He can raise the dead. He can make the lame to walk, the blind to see. Give Him all glory today. Praise Him. Praise Him. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy to be praised. Magnify His holy name. Worship Him. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor, Jesus. We give you all the glory. God, we give you all the glory. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, we give you all the glory. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we give you all the glory. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the victories you have given us in the firstborn family. We thank you for days of small beginnings. Thank you that we are alive today to see glorious things. Thank you in advance for tomorrow. Thank you because we know this is a new beginning. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, we are rededicating this place to you today. And we are praying that like never before, this place will become a miracle center. Amen. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that from now on, when they bring the dead here, the dead will rise. Amen. When the poor comes here to worship, the poor will begin to prosper. Amen. If the barren comes here to worship, immediately, if the sick just steps in here, instantly let the sick be healed. Amen. Let captives be set free. Amen. Answer prayers here by fire. Amen. And let the miracles begin right now. Amen. Even as we rededicate this place to you today, in the name of the Father, Amen. And of the Son, Amen. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, let someone shout hallelujah. Shake hands with one or two people and tell the fellow neighbor, I love you. But today, my miracle will be bigger than yours. And then you may please be seated. God bless you. Thank you. I want to greet the traditional ruler especially. Thank you very much. God bless you for coming. And congratulations to every one of us who are here this morning. I can give a choir a round of applause. They sang very well, but they stole part of my time. The Oga wanted to stop them. I said, today's their day. Let them sing. After I've gone, they will sing a little more. Glory be to God. Psalm 126, which the governor, I don't know how he saw my notes, quoted for you. Psalm 126, I'm reading from verse 1 to 3. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That passage is absolutely true of the firstborn family. When God gave me the dream of the mother parish, I spoke to three boys. I told them what God has told me. And they were, one of them immediately told the others, it's not going to be part of it. The other two didn't quite say anything. And they left. And then one of them later on was visited by God. And he started the first modern parish at Ladipo Oluwole. And the church grew very rapidly. In less than 1 year, I became the biggest parish in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, with membership of almost 1,000. And in those days, a church with 1,000 members in Nigeria, it's a mega church. But then the devil struck, and the young man decided to go away. And like as we have been told, he left behind a congregation of maybe just about 12 or 15 people. The Anyoluwas, the Papa Mate, and one family, General Mahmoud, and his wife. Today, the handful of people left behind are all over the world. Why? Because God turned our captivity. And this morning, God is going to turn the captivity of someone, including that of the engineer. Provided my mic does not give trouble anymore. And so this morning we're talking about dreamlike miracles. The noun here is miracle. And the miracle is the divine intervention in the affairs of men. That's what a miracle is. Divine intervention in the affairs of men. God rules the universe with laws that are called natural laws. For example, one of the natural laws says whatever goes up must come down. It is that natural law, which we call the law of gravity, that makes it impossible for you to walk on water. Because if you walk on water, gravity will pull you down to the very bottom. But in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 32, Matthew 14, 22 to 32, when Jesus needed to perform a miracle for his children in a boat in the middle of the sea when there was a storm, he suspended the law of gravity, suspended, not canceled, and began to walk on water to go and reach them. When Peter came out of the boat to come and meet Jesus Christ, as long as he kept his eyes on the one who suspended the law of gravity, he too was able to walk on water. But the moment he took his eyes away from him, he discovered that the law of gravity was still there as he began to sink. My prayer for someone today is that God will suspend any law necessary to perform your miracle in Jesus' name. Now, what do we call dream? A dream is something that happens, particularly when you are sleeping. And unbelievable things happen in dreams, including some impossible things. In the book of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 8, Isaiah 29, verse 8, he said, when you're talking about dreams, a hungry man in a dream will just find himself eating. It's when he wakes up that he will know it has been a dream. And there are some dreams that are just impossible to fulfill. If you dream that you are being coronated as the King of England, you know what kind of dream is that one. The elders will tell you that there are a particular young man, his name was Kuruma. You know, in the early days, there were no roads for cars to pass through. So when the white people, our leaders there, when they want to travel, they have these special chairs with poles pass through them. And they are usually carried by four hefty men, two in front, two behind. Now, Kuruma happens to be one of the four. He was one of those who carry the governor. And then one day he had a dream, and he saw himself sitting in the chair. Now, that's not the real terrible, that's not the real fantastic thing. It was four white men carrying him. So when you have a dream that is impossible to fulfill, we call it Kuruma dream. Like one young man came to me some years ago and he said he had a dream. I said, what was the dream? He said, sir, I saw you as our new president. I said, that is Kuruma dream. But some dreams, no matter how fantastic they may sound, could still come to pass. A very good example was the dream of Joseph. He had a dream that all his brothers and even his father and mother will come and bow down to him. They thought that it must be Kuruma dream. But it came to pass. I have good news for someone here today. That dream that God gave you, as fantastic as it may seem, after today, will come to pass. Now, when we talk about miracles, miracles are in categories. My time has been eaten up, so I won't do a long Bible study. But miracles can be classified into categories. We have what we call miracles. We have what we call wonders. We have what we call signs. We have what we call great miracles. And every miracle is great, but when we talk about great miracles, you know what we are talking about. Then we have great wonders. And then we have what we call superior miracles. And then we have what we call special miracles. Like in Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, 11 to 12. God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul. But at the top of them all is what we call dream-like miracles. And in the brief moment I have left, I will want to look at these dream-like miracles, maybe just in four categories: physical, material, social, and spiritual. Let's take an example in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. John 9, 1 to 7. Talks about a man who was born blind, and he's been blind for 40 years. Then one morning he woke up blind, and then suddenly somebody grabbed him because he couldn't see and began to rub mud on the places where the eye should be. Ah, who is this? Why are you doing this to me? And then he had a man say to him, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash. And you know the rest of the story. For one reason or the other, he obeyed. For one reason or the other, he found his way to the pool. And as he began to wash the mud off his eyes, suddenly he began to see. I can assure you that at least for 1 month after that fellow, he thought he was dreaming. Is it true? Am I seeing? Is this a dream? There are miracles happen to you. Long after they happened, you still be pinching yourself. Am I dreaming? Miracles that you will want to say to the Almighty God, please, if this is a dream, don't let me wake up. In the name of the one who sent me, somebody here today will receive a dream-like miracle. There are several other examples in the Bible. I will just mention the passages. You can go and read them. Many of them you know. Like in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. 2 Kings 5, 1 to 14. There's the story of Naaman, who had been a leper for years, and suddenly he came out of the River Jordan, and he looked at himself. Leprosy gone, no scars. Days after that, he would wake up in the morning, looked at himself and say, am I dreaming? Oh, in John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, John 5, 2 to 9, there was this man who had been sick for 38 years, and then he had a visit from the Lord Jesus Christ, and in an instant, he was healed.
And I'm sure when he woke up the following morning and he found himself at home, not by the poolside, he was, is this a dream? Is it true I am well? I've heard the story before of a young man that was told in London in 1983 that he had 2 weeks to live. Told the parents, better take him home if you want him to see Nigeria again. And the father brought him, and somebody said, take him to a pastor somewhere there in the camp. All will be well. That was 1983. The one they said will die in 2 weeks is still alive today. I am sure that many a time he himself will wake up and say, am I dreaming? It doesn't matter how long you have been sick. It doesn't matter the report of the doctor. Because you came today. When you wake up tomorrow completely well, you are going to say, am I dreaming? Oh, we'll take just one or two examples in the material. Take the case in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. It was the story of this widow who had been heavily in debt. And if you have never been in debt, my prayer is you will never be in debt. Yeah. But when you are in debt, and you don't have the money to pay, every morning when you wake up, you feel weighed down. Because you can never tell when the creditors will come and say, we want to foreclose. This woman had been in debt for years. And then one day the creditors came and said, if you don't pay by tomorrow, your children will be sold into slavery. He ran to the man of God, and the man of God told him, go home, borrow empty vessels, not a few, shut the door on yourself and your children, and begin to pour out. I put myself in the position of that woman. When the doors were shut, and they brought the vessel unto him, and he began to pour, and they all kept on flowing. One vessel was full, they brought another one was full. They brought, she would say, is this a dream? And God, if this is a dream, don't let me wake up. But it wasn't a dream. He woke up in the morning, not sure where he would get the money to pay. Before the evening, not only has he paid the debt, he never needed to borrow again. Or you take the case of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. Tells you the story of a woman who had only one meal left. And the man of God said, don't worry yourself. From now on, there will always be food in this house. Oh, amen. She just believed. But every day she would wake up, and there was plenty of food in the house. Is this a dream? One month, 1 year, 2 years, am I in a long dream? I've told you the story of my father in the Lord when he started the church. And things were very hard. Very, very hard. And then God spoke to him one day. They just had some money. They prepared a pot of soup. And God said, tell your wife to keep dishing from that pot of soup and not look inside. She must not look inside. Okay? So she told the wife. And you know, liars won't go to heaven. So my father won't tell a lie to me. Today, Mama will take her eyes away, dish from the pot, chicken will come out. Tomorrow, it will be beef. Another time, it will be fish. Put yourself in her position. Can this be true? Is this happening to me? Is this a dream? Of course, you know the rest of the story. One day, after several weeks, she was overcome by curiosity. This pot that is producing all manners of meat every day. Let me see. And the pot became empty. There's somebody here today. Before the end of this month, you're going to get a financial breakthrough. And for the rest of your life, you will think you are dreaming. Let me take one example in the social level. When you read Genesis 21, verse 1 to 7, Genesis 21, verse 1 to 7, you have to get into the skin, under the skin of Sarah, to understand what she's saying. She was 90 years old. Her husband was 99. Then somebody came and said, "You are going to have a son." And she laughed. Because that was a joke. 90-year-old women don't get pregnant. It doesn't happen. But then she became pregnant. And I'm sure when the stomach began to swell, she must have kept on asking herself, "Is this a dream?" And then the baby came. "Am I still dreaming?" And then they dedicated the baby. And she's beginning to say, "God, if this is a dream, let it remain forever a dream. Let me remain in the dream world." Oh, you take another example. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 25, Luke 1, 1 to 25, when Elizabeth, another very old woman, became pregnant, the Bible says she hid herself for 5 months. You know why? She wasn't sure she wasn't dreaming. "Let me stay inside the house and enjoy this dream. Because if I come out and somebody sees me and say, 'Hello, you are still as barren as ever,' it will terminate my dream." So she hid herself 5 months, enjoying the dream. But it wasn't a dream. It was a reality. I have good news for somebody here today that they say can never, never bear. 9 months from now, when we are dedicating your children, you will think you are dreaming. I'm standing here today to tell somebody who thinks that you can never be successful in whatever you do. You have failed again and failed again and failed again. Because you are here today, you will become such a success that for years to come, you will think you are dreaming. I can tell you several stories along that line. You remember the story of one of my daughters who had waited and waited for God to provide a husband and none came, and has ceased to be with her after the manner of women. So we had a program, I think it was at Afaba Lewa Square. And at the end, as usual, I said, everybody should ask God for a miracle from God. And she said to God, "I'm not going to bother you anymore. I will serve you anyway. And they're asking you for one thing. All this year you didn't answer. So don't worry. Anything you think you want to do for me, you can do." Few days later, one brother came and said, "Thus says the Lord, you are going to be my wife." Oh. He said to him, "You better go and pray again. How can I be your wife?" The man said, "You are the one God showed me." She said, "Don't you want children? Because I'm too old now to have a child." Ah, the man of God said, "Praise God, you are the one. Because I already have children. My wife died. I need somebody who will be my wife and look after the children. I don't want more children. So you are the one." So they got married. And that very first month, she became pregnant. And when she was going to deliver, she gave birth to a set of twins. Two boys. Now, you just think about it. For a long time, she must have been saying, "Is this true? Or am I dreaming?" That kind of miracle. That for a long time, as you are passing by this place, and you remember that this is the place I came to, that this miracle happened, you are going to say, "Father, thank you for the miracle. And thank you for the dream." Let me take just one more example, and then we'll close. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, Acts 3, verse 1 to 8, there was a man, a layman, by the beautiful gate. And then there was Peter and John passing by, and they saw this man. The man asked for money. Of course, Peter was broke. But I'm sure himself and John passed by the man. And John must have said to Peter, "Hey, wait a minute. We are passing this man." Peter said, "Yes." "If we don't have you money to give him." "No." But John said to Peter, "Have you forgotten what Jesus said? He said, 'We shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon us.'" "Yes, yes, I remember." And he told us that the works he did, we shall do. Oh, yes. Let's try and see. Because some days ago, we received power. The Holy Spirit came. Let's put it to work. Okay. Peter went to the man. "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The man didn't move. Embarrassed, Peter said, "Everybody's looking at me. This man, I asked you to get up, you didn't get up." He grabbed him by the hand. And suddenly power began to flow. Let me tell you the truth. For days after, Peter must have been wondering, "Is it me? I lay hand on the lame and he walked. Can that be true? Or am I dreaming?" I remember when I became general overseer and I was visiting our churches, and in those days, the churches were very, very many. All of them were put together. We were 40. And so when I visit one parish, I spend a whole week with them. There's plenty of time to go around the whole year. And I got to Elisha. And this woman brought a child for prayer. I said, this child had never spoken before in her life. Child must be about 10 years or so old. Asked me to pray. And I was going to pray the way pastors pray. "We just pray for you in the name of Jesus. And whatever happens after that one, we say go. Receive by faith." As I lay hand on the girl and I said, in the name of Jesus, the girl said, amen. I nearly jumped out of the window. Because I wasn't expecting anything to happen. No, I wasn't. Days later, I still keep saying, is it true? Did it happen? And I want to decree to somebody here today, in the name that's above every other name, not only will miracles be happening for you, miracles will be happening through you. One day I traveled, and my professor, Professor Chike Obi, a professor in mathematics, came to Redemption Camp and met my wife. He said, I know you. You are Mrs. Adeboye. My wife said yes. Where's your husband? He traveled. Is he the same Adeboye? My boy in mathematics. My wife said yes. He said, I've been hearing miracles, science. Well, this boy was a mathematician. He said, I must go and find out. In the name that's above every other name, those who have known you before, when miracles begin to happen through you, will come and pay you a visit. In conclusion, I have to make it brief so that God can quickly perform your miracles for you. When you go through the scriptures, you will find that almost all those who got dream-like miracles, and there are many, I couldn't finish all of them. I couldn't mention Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I couldn't mention Daniel. I couldn't mention all of them who, long after the miracles, thought they must be dreaming. But almost without exception, it's either these people invited God to visit them, or God was passing by and they opened the door for him to come in. Like in the case of Abraham, in Genesis 18, verse 1 to 14, Genesis 18, 1 to 14, God was passing by, and they invited him in. That was when he released to Sarah that miracle that for a long time she thought she was dreaming. Or in the case of the woman whose food just kept on multiplying day by day, Elijah came and she said, please, you are welcome to stay in my house. Again and again, you find that all these people open the door to the God who can perform miracles. Or they did something that caused the Almighty God to look down from heaven and say, all right, you've done something for me nobody had ever done before. I will do for you something that nobody had ever seen before. Like in the case of Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 6 to 12. 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 12. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And God paid him a visit and gave him promises, incredible promises. And the Bible said, when Solomon woke up, behold, it was a dream. But it was a dream that came to pass. Solomon became the wisest man who ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the richest one. People were coming from all over the world to come and listen to him because God gave him a dream that came to pass. But when you study the scriptures, you would discover again and again, like I've been trying to tell those who are close to me, nothing goes for nothing. You want the kind of dream that others have never had before, and then you want this dream to be turned to reality, you have a role to play. One of my daughters in America, highly successful medical doctor, but no husband. Nobody ever said to her, "How now? Beautiful lady, highly qualified." I mean, she had a hospital of her own. She had attended everything, Holy Ghost service, oh, she was there. Convention, oh, she would be there. And then suddenly she had a brainwave. The way things are going, I'm going to die without a child. All this labor, who am I laboring for? She had a brainwave. I arrived in America, and there was this brand new car. When I travel to America, my children are very interesting people. They will go and borrow the best car around and drive him in. And I always know it's borrowed when it's time to open the boot. They won't know where to. But this time, the woman bought a brand new car and told my man there, "Please, this is the car Daddy must ride throughout his stay." Thank you very much. We don't have to go and hire one. When I left, she parked the car in the garage and sat where I was sitting. I said, "God, your son sat here. You have to do something." Less than 3 months, one brother came and said, "Where have you been all these days?" About a year later, I got a phone call. "Daddy, your daughter is in hospital. What's wrong with her?" "No, nothing wrong. She's just given birth to a baby." She provoked God to give her a miracle. And when I saw her, she said, "For quite a while, I thought I was dreaming." There's somebody here today. God chose this theme for you, so that very soon, you too, after receiving your miracle, we think you are dreaming. And if you are here today and you have never invited Jesus into your heart, and you are expecting a miracle, He doesn't give miracles to strangers. He said miracles belong to His children. So if you are not yet a child of God, I'll give you 2 minutes to come and stand before me. I will pray for your salvation. Jesus will come into your life. And then you too can get a dreamlike miracle from the Almighty God. And so I'm going to count from 1 to 10. Any one of you want to give your life to Jesus? You want to invite Him into your life? Invite Him into your home? Invite Him into your business? Invite Him into everything pertaining to you? Come and surrender your life to Jesus now. I'm counting. 1. Okay, I've been told that there are several overflows. If there is an altar in front of your overflow, you can go there. But if you are near me here, you can come quickly. And I will count slowly for those of you who are outside who may want to come in. And those of you who are in the overflow, in the various overflows, you can go to the front of the overflow. And my prayer will reach you there. I'm counting now. 2. 3. Four. Five. Six. Those of you in the viewing centers, in the various overflows, make your way rapidly to the front of the place, if you are far away from here. 7. Nine. And those of you who are watching all over the world, want to give your life to Jesus Christ, all you need to do is stand up wherever you are, and I'll pray for you now. The rest of us, will you please help me stretch your hands towards these people and intercede for them, that the Almighty God will save their souls and that He will step into their lives today and dwell with them. Those of you who have come forward, cry unto the Lord. Ask Him to save your soul. Ask Him to have mercy on you. Ask Him to take you into the family of God. Ask Him to come and live in you, dwell in you, so that today will be a new beginning for you. Let's cry to God for another 1 minute, and then I will pray. And if there's anyone who is still coming, you need to come very quickly now, because I'll be praying for salvation in the next 1 minute. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Savior, I want to thank you for your word. I want to give you all glory and honor for a great day like this. A day of a new beginning as we are rededicating this temple. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for these people who have come forward to surrender their life to you. Please, Father, receive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Forgive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your blood wash them clean in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you save their souls today, please write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
And I pray that for the rest of their life, they will serve you.
Amen.
I'm also praying, Lord God Almighty, that because you have stepped into their lives now, anytime they call on you, you answer them by fire.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God. Now, Lord God Almighty, this is a very special day. And so I'm asking that in a moment when your children begin to cry unto you for miracles, the kind of miracles you will give to them, let them be dreamlike miracles.
Amen.
Miracles so big, Lord God Almighty, that for the rest of their life, they will think, could this be true? So that people will hear about it and know that you are the miracle working God.
Amen.
Father, answer their prayers.
Amen.
Anything they ask of you today, Father, before the sun sets, release unto them.
Amen.
And when you've done it, Father, take all the glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, whether those of you who are here or at the various viewing centers, I want to rejoice with you. Because from now on, by God's grace, I'll be praying for you. And so I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. They will give you a card, which I want you to fill very quickly, and you will return to the counselors. They will compile it, and they'll give me a copy, and I promise you, I'll be praying for you. But In the meantime, stay where you are, because the rest of us want to pray. Now, the rest of us, how many of you believe you are going to get your miracles today? Stand on your feet and shout hallelujah. Now, I don't know the area of your need. It could be physical, it could be financial, it could be social, it could be spiritual. Or maybe God had given you a dream that you yourself know it will take a miracle for it to come to pass. I want you to ask God for that miracle today as a dedication miracle, something that we will remember this day by. So I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God loud and clear now. Shout loud and say, Father, that miracle I need, that will be like a dream, give it to me now. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. That miracle that I need urgently, that will be like a dream, please give it to me now. Give it to me now. Suffer no loss.
GAP TV, RCC Dubai TV channel.